We're in Corinthians, where we've been working on the spiritual gifts. We are in lesson 5 on the spiritual gifts. We're going to try to hustle through. Now, for review, I'm just going to review this section because partly for time and partly I don't want to keep reviewing everything. We'll come back to that later on, get a good outline of 1 Corinthians on the screen eventually. But so the first thing we talked about is the context. We talked about the idea that in the culture of the mystery religions of the ancient world, there were people who had some kind of ecstatic experience, which is similar to what the charismatic movement does today. And this is exactly the same kind of thing that it appears was happening in Corinth. That there were certain ones, I don't know how many of them, but certain ones, a significant number of the ones in the church in Corinth, who were emphasizing the gift of tongues in a particular way, and sort of insisting that if you're going to be spiritual, you had to experience this. So that's the issue part of it. And it skewed their focus. So then we started discussing the biblical gifts. So there's a variety of gifts. They're all equal in value. They come from God. They're given for the benefit of the church as a whole. And they differ in nature according to the times. We talked about how there are at-will miracle type of gifts, supernatural gifts, that were operating in the apostolic times. And then we have the day-to-day ordinary gifts in all times and all places. And those things, we see them in the gift list. Some of them, even here in 1 Corinthians, are operating in our church today. All right? So, and then last week we talked about this, the importance of the body for contextualizing the use of the gifts. So he's talking about the unity of the body. And whatever the gifts are, they are not something that should be used to cause disunity in the body. And so here's the next section we're going to be talking about, the ranking of gifts. We're going to be looking at this text from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27, to the first part of verse 31. And there's, originally I sort of thought I might do the whole lesson on these verses, and then I got to the end of that, and I thought, well, I don't know if that's going to be long enough. So I decided we'll just put in the whole of chapter 13. We'll see how we do and how many questions you have and interaction you have. So let's read the text, these verses, and then we'll go through the questions I have on the sheet. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have the gifts of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. Okay, so what kind of a statement do we have in verse 27? Okay, anybody want to take a stab at reading my mind for that one? Well, that's what it's saying, but that's I want you to categorize the statement. Pardon me? A unifying statement, that's pretty close. But pardon me? Factual? Yeah, that is what it is saying, but I think Addie is getting towards what I had. What I had is a summary statement. Okay, he's summing up. You are all Christ's body. That's what all those verses. He lists those gifts, and then all the way down, he says, you are Christ's body. And then he says, and individually, members of it. So the body is made up of individuals. What two concepts do this statement point to? I've already answered that. What are the two concepts? The church is what? One body. And then what's the other part of that? A body made up of individuals. Okay, so that's the key thing to take into consideration when we're thinking about these spiritual gifts. So now he returns to the gifts. He already gave a list of gifts in verses 8 through 10. I wonder, I should have maybe put those up as a comparison, but I didn't. Okay, so what does 1st, 2nd, 3rd imply about the gifts in verse 28? When he uses those words, what does that imply? Okay, hierarchical order. or ranking is the term that I used there at the top, all right? The ranking of gifts. Now, let me see here. I don't think I tackled this, but notice it says, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings. Now, he doesn't go fourth, fifth, sixth, right? So, does he mean to put this list entirely in that order? Or does he mean to give the first three and then lump all the rest as equals? What do you think? You like the latter? You don't get a gold star. Yeah, I think it's in order. Because notice what he says at the very end, but earnestly desire the best gifts. I think it's the order that's important. Yes, Christy. No, I'm just thinking about the list that we have in verse 28. Okay, yeah. All right. Okay, so let me go on and to the questions I have in the notes. Paul repeats a list in verses 29 to 30. So what differences do you note between verse 28 and verses 29 to 30? I have three differences that I've noted. You may not notice them in the same order, but look at those lists. Yes. Right. That's right, and we're going to come to that. That is a good observation. We are going to come to that shortly. Okay? So what's the, but comparing the two lists, because he does mention all of these in these two lists pretty well, what are the differences, though, between the two lists? So see what you can pick up. Christy. That is a bit of a difference. Actually, Various is in italics in the first one, but anyway, so what else? What else do you see? Rob.
Well, would this be what you're getting at, like the first three are having to do with spreading the gospel, and the next grouping is sort of in support of that?
No, he's got the same three in the next one. Verse 29, all are not apostles, are all not prophets. Yeah, the ones that we have right here. Yeah. Okay. So, all right. What do you see? I'm going to give you the answers shortly if we can't get it. That's true, but I guess we could add. That's not one of the ones I had. That is true. Okay. So not everybody has them. He's making that point in the second list. All right. All right, so I'll give you my three categories. First of all, no ordering words. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. In the first list, those words appear. The second list, they do not. But the same order is implied because he puts them in exactly the same order. Okay? And so that's the second thing. Same order of gifts. Okay? They don't have the ordering words, but they're the same order. And there's one thing that's added. What's that? Interpreting tongues. So you have 7 in verse 28, you have 8 in verse 29 and 30. Okay. So, sometimes you guys think that what I want from you is something deep. Sometimes I'm just looking for the surface. Okay? Okay, so, yes. Third point is the addition of interpreting tongues. All do not interpret, do they? Okay? So in verse 28, it stops at various kinds of tongues. It doesn't mention interpreting. Okay, and that word is very interesting in itself. We're not going to talk about that this week. We'll talk about it hopefully next week. Okay, so why does Paul include gifts that seem to refer to persons or offices as opposed to spiritual abilities or enablements? And I put in the notes, see Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, which I'm quickly, hopefully, turning to. So Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, this is the other gift list. Now if I can just find Ephesians. There we go. Okay. He gave some as apostles, some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. These are listed as the gifts that were given to the church. So, why does Paul include gifts that seem to refer to persons or offices as opposed to spiritual abilities or enablements? What do you think he's thinking here? Rosemary. Okay, they are leadership roles. Okay, anything else, Marlene? They are appointed, yes. Okay, anything else? Okay, these offices are gifts to the church. So that when somebody, it's not that somebody, sometimes people have been put into the role of pastor and they have no leadership gifts. And it doesn't work really well. Okay, I've met guys like this, very nice men, devoted disciples, felt that they should go into the ministry, and just couldn't lead. There's no gift. Okay, and so Paul says in Ephesians, he says, God, the Lord gave these as gifts to the church, apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers. And we generally say pastors and teachers are the same thing, just for the record. But here we have three, apostles, prophets, and teachers in verse 28, and again, apostles, prophets, and teachers in verse 29. All right, now, I guess we've already answered this one. In verses 29 to 30, the list takes a form of rhetorical questions. What is the point of the rhetoric? Okay, why is he asking those questions? Maureen, you already answered that, so maybe you can... That not everybody has the same gift. Okay, so when the church, when the tongues gift gets abused, and there's a misinterpretation saying that everybody must have it as a sign of the Spirit, they are misunderstanding the gifts. Paul is saying that God doesn't give the same gift to everyone. And that whole body metaphor where he said, all are not eyes, all are not hearing. Okay? So he's making that point over and over again. Rob.
I'm sorry, I'm sort of missing a couple of your points. Ephesians 4:11, that point there, I didn't follow.
Gifted persons are spiritual gifts to the church. Okay, so you think about tongues, or you think about healing, that's an ability. Apostles, prophets, and teachers are in an office. They're persons. But they also have, there is a spiritual gift that is given to those persons in those offices, if they're holding it legitimately.
Okay.
I know, that's fine. If you don't understand, that's fine. You did the right thing. Do you understand what I'm saying now, sort of?
Yeah, you're rushing to get through.
Well, you can always slow me down. Okay. Alright, so the point here is no one gift is given to all believers in the church. That's these rhetorical questions. And then I have a comment. This counters the modern emphasis on one gift above all others as a sign of the filling of the Spirit, that is tongues. Every believer is filled with the Spirit, and each believer has his own gift, whether it's on this list or not. You'll recall there are some gifts in Romans chapter 12, which we're not talking about today, that are not on this list. And there seems to be an indication that there are gifts God gives to people that maybe aren't on any of the lists, but are special abilities for serving in the church. Okay? All right. So in the ranking, which gifts are of most importance? Apostles. The ones that are ordered, those are the most important ones. Okay? Now, apostleship, prophecy, and teaching. Okay, so what gifts are of least importance? Not a trick question. Huh? Tongues. Yeah, tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Those are the least important gifts. Okay? And now which gifts are list... Oh, I already... Oh, this one, this might be a little tougher. Okay, which gifts listed in verse 28 are not included in verses 8 to 10? Now let me just see if I don't even know if I've got the answer right. Okay.
You mean Ephesians 8 to 10?
No.
8 to 10.
What did I say? Did I say 8 to 10? Where am I?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Oh, sorry. I don't know what I'm saying. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. That's what I wanted. That's where I was saying, wait a minute, this isn't right. Okay, I don't even know what I'm talking about. I should have put the whole reference in. So if you look at chapter 12, look at verses 8 through 10. This is the other list in 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read it to you, and you listen and look at the list that we have here in 28 and 29 and 30. Okay, verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another the effecting of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Okay, so if you compare those lists, there are four things that are not in the list at the end of 1 Corinthians 12. There are four things that are not in the list at the beginning of 1 Corinthians 12 in verses 8 through 10. Okay, so.
Word of
wisdom is not in the second list, but it is in the first list. I'm looking for the ones that are in the second list, but not in the first list.
Faith
is in the first list, not in the second.
Okay,
there you got helps and administrations, and two others, apostleship and teachers, are not in the first list. Faith and word of wisdom and all that, they are not in the second list. So the lists are not exactly the same. It's sort of a hard question. I probably shouldn't have worded it that way. All right. But when you think about teaching and helps and administrations that are in this list, when you thinking back to our chart, remember the chart that I gave you of the various gifts? And I made the distinction between at-will miracle gifts and day-to-day ordinary gifts. What sort of gifts are these three, especially teaching, helps, and administrations? Are they at-will miracle gifts or are they day-to-day ordinary gifts?
Day-to-day
ordinary gifts. Why do we say that? They're not miraculous, but there's something else. What is another thing about the day-to-day ordinary gifts?
They're still here.
They're still here. Okay, these things are still, like we do have people in the church who are given the gift of administration, of organization. Thank the Lord for them, because it's not me. All right? Teaching helps. That's vital. All right, Rob.
Point maybe you want to comment on this sort of strikes me as it's very much runs against that false teaching of the second baptism of the Spirit, where you have to be, you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, but in order to speak in tongues, you've got to have this second blessing.
That is a part of the concept here.
Yeah, so you have, if you leave, you have the Holy Spirit, and you don't need a second blessing if you've got the gift of pastor or something.
Whatever, that's right. Yeah. Now, by the way, I'm just working my way logically through here. I'm sort of trying to build towards something, and some of my questions, that's part of the reason they are totally clear to me, because I know where I'm going. And you're thinking, what's he talking about? All right.
I just missed two of the things you said when you were talking about which gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12:28 are not included in 1 Corinthians.
Right. So I put down teaching, helps, and administrations. Those are the three main ones that I had noticed, but also apostleship. I just noticed that is not in there as well.
And didn't you say word of wisdom?
No, it's the ones that are in the second list, but not in the first list.
So there's two things that are different.
Some are in the first list and not in the second list. I'm not paying attention to those. Okay.
So that's what's confusing people.
I know it's confusing, and I should not. I repent of the question. Okay? Yes, Tola.
I have a question.
Sure.
Are you saying
the gift of working of miracles is no more in existence?
I'm saying God can work miracles anytime he wants. But no person can work a miracle.
Of course.
Right. Okay? Okay, that's because that was for the apostolic age. All right. Okay, so All right, now looking ahead to chapter 14, verses 1 through 2, and you're going to have to look at this in your Bible. So what I want you to notice what gifts are emphasized there, and it's also throughout the chapter, but we're just going to read the first two verses. That'll tell us. Pursue love, yet earnestly, desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands, but in his spirit he speaks mysteries. So what is what two gifts are mentioned here?
Prophecy and tongues.
Prophecy and tongues. Okay. Now, what does now he's going to go in chapter 14, which is a preview. The whole chapter is about those two gifts. Prophecy and tongues. There is a mention of interpretation. But really that falls under the category of tongues. Okay, but that's the whole point of chapter 14. He's not talking about all the rest of the gifts. So, what does the narrowing of focus in chapter 14 from multiple gifts to just two gifts imply about the situation in Corinth?
That's where they were having the problem.
That's where they're having the problem. So, in chapter 12, he's introducing the spiritual gifts. He's showing that there are many gifts, that not everybody has any one gift, that there is a wide distribution, and that there are, and but then he's going to work on their attitude in chapter 13, and he's going to start teaching. This is the issue in chapter 14. Okay, so that's I just want you to see that the Corinthians are overemphasizing tongues. How are we doing? We're not probably going to get into chapter 13, which is fine. Okay, so again, considering the ranking of gifts in chapter 12, verses 28 to 30, at what rank do we find the gift of prophecy? Look at our text here, verse 28. Second one. They're second behind apostles. All right. At what rank do we find tongues? At the end. So the other word for that is last. Okay, last. Okay, now that's on this list. I mean, it's just the way it is in this list. Okay. So what does Paul emphasizing by his verse in, or his question in verse 31a? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. What is he emphasizing here?
There are gifts that are greater.
Well, there are gifts that are greater, but I want you to say more than that. Earnestly desire the greater gifts. What is he exhorting them to do?
Desire the greater rather than the lesser.
Desire the greater rather than the lesser. See, their whole focus is on the tongues. You know, I don't have to be a pastor to do that. I don't have to, you know, do anything else to do that. I can just, you know, have a ecstatic fit in church and say something and I've got it. Right? And so it's the thing that was being emphasized. And if you look in the charismatic movement today, or at least, I shouldn't speak for the whole because I haven't had that experience with them, but amongst those that I have had experience with, this has become this central emphasis. In order to show that you're filled with the Spirit, you have to speak in tongues. They all give you tongue-speaking courses. They will, they'll say, I heard somebody else talking about it. They've been told, well, you just prime the pump. What do you mean, prime the pump? Well, you start saying syllables. Ba, 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 da, da, da. And if you keep doing it fast enough, eventually you'll start speaking in tongues. They are told. Now, does it really happen? I don't know. But that's what I have heard people say about it. Okay. What gift did the Corinthians most desire? They desired tongues. What else does this question of verse 31 imply? If one is to earnestly desire some gift, does he already possess it? No. Okay, no, he does not. So what that implies is that God gives gifts, but he doesn't necessarily give all the gifts all at once. And there is a teaching out there, by the way, that every Christian has a spiritual gift. They base it on some of the passages in here, in this passage that we've been looking at. And there are people that are, there are seminars put on to determine which spiritual gift you have. And I think that's the wrong way of looking at it. And the fact is, I believe that it is possible to not have a specific spiritual gift at any given time. God may give you a gift if it's for the benefit of the church at some time in the point in your life. And you exercise that gift as long as you're doing that ministry. And then, who knows? All right, Daryl.
Well, in the verse 7 to where he's talking about the word of wisdom,
yeah,
and knowledge, literacy, and faith, there's something you can do about fulfilling your desire.
Mm-hmm.
You can, want to become more wise. Well, God will give you wisdom.
He will, yes. Yes.
Anyone that asks.
That's right.
And it'll increase your faith and your knowledge.
Yes.
It'll increase your knowledge.
Yes.
Tongues, there's no way, if somebody's speaking in tongues, there's no way to tell whether they're, whether it's what it is.
That's right. That's right. And it's very difficult.
And it's easy, right? There's no...
It's easy to fake it.
No effort expended, right?
That's right. That's right. All right, now we don't want to be too critical because, many of the people who are doing these things are sincere believers. They've just been, I believe, mistaught. And they have been overemphasizing a thing that should not be overemphasized. The whole point that Paul is making in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 is to correct this overemphasis. Right, Maureen?
So like, if you're trying to understand it, because I was in Sunday school and I'm behind and
yes,
things, but so what you're saying is the gifts that God is giving is for the edification of the church.
Yes.
The body.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But would it be true to say that like sort of as Daryl's saying, if you want to serve God,
yes,
and ask for his help,
yes,
he will give you the spiritual ability to do it.
That's right. And it's amazing. So how, absolutely. And sometimes people say, I can't teach. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but God can give you a gift.
So,
overcome what you can't do.
Well, and could you not say that, the willingness to serve is the most important thing.
I think the willingness to serve is the most important thing, and God will give gifts as he wills. And sometimes people have to serve and they don't have the gift and they know it.
Well, isn't Spurgeon famously saved from some point? Preacher in the past, like that's an amazing story.
There's an amazing story about Charles Spurgeon. The guy, he was listening, he went, slipped into a meeting when he was 14. This guy was preaching, he couldn't preach worth anything. And he,
he's a substitute.
I don't remember that part of the story. But anyway, he had a very, very bad sermon. In terms of homiletics, it wasn't very good. But he could tell Spurgeon was troubled, and he pointed to him to a verse, and he called him out in the middle of the service. You're not supposed to do that. Called him out, young man, he says. And I think the verse was, look unto me, all ye that answer and be saved. He says, young man, just look! He kept repeating that. And Spurgeon says, I looked. And that's how he became a Christian. So God can use any one of us, no matter how ungifted we may be. But that sort of takes us a little bit off the point. Now, we do have 15 minutes. I think we can do the first bit of chapter 13. So I guess my big point here, the big point in this last section is, though, there is a rank. There are some gifts that are more important than others. I have not defined the gifts yet. I plan to do that when we finish chapter 13. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it before we start chapter 14 or later, but I sort of think I'm going to. I think I'm going to work through and define what do we mean by these various gifts, or at least some of them anyway. Some of the gifts that are in the list, we don't have a lot of information what they are. They're just mentioned in this list. We don't know what they are exactly. What is the gift of faith? It's not saving faith. We know that. But it is mentioned here. Okay, so let's go ahead and... Now, you notice that we have a... I've included the last part of chapter 12 with the first... verse 31 with the first three verses of chapter 13 because I think they do go together. And I show you a still more excellent way. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, and do not have love, it profits me nothing. All right, so this is a new paragraph. And more excellent way refers to what does this line refer to? And I said, hint, look ahead to chapter 13. I think I've already given you the answer, but what would you say to the answer to that?
Love.
Love, all right? It's pointing its way towards love. And what does he mean by this, a more excellent way? It's more important than any gift. Okay, so they've been talking about gifts and what I have, but what's more important is love. Okay, Gordon.
1 John, he that loveth not knoweth not God.
Yeah, he that loveth not knoweth not God. 1 John. All right, so in the comparisons Paul makes in verses 1 through 3, 13, 1 through 3, what gifts does he mention? I've got five gifts there, so what are the gifts?
Tongues.
Tongues.
Prophecy.
Prophecy. Faith is there, number 4.
Giving.
That's number 3, and I've included giving my body to be burned as part of that. What's the, there's missing?
Mysteries and knowledge.
Mysteries and knowledge, okay, the gift of knowledge. Okay, so what makes the exercise of these gifts useless?
Without love.
Yeah, the absence of love, okay, it's the absence of love. Now, when Paul is speaking of love in 1 Corinthians 13, is he speaking of a gift? Addie.
I don't think he's speaking of gifts, rather trying to point attention to the division that was going on.
All right, so he is calling an attention to the division. There's another passage that speaks about what love is in this context. Does anybody know what it is?
Yeah.
Fruit of the Spirit, and that's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. So these are things we're to cultivate in our lives. When the old man, the flesh, has anger and wrath and clamor and drunkenness and all those other things that are in that list, we're to shun that. We're to pursue the fruit of the Spirit. We're to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit. That's what Paul says in Galatians. So he's talking about the fruit of the Spirit here. And so what he's saying, I think, is the fruit of the Spirit is superior to the gifts. It's more important. The emphasis should be there. And I'm watching my clock. Oh, I don't have my... I left my watch at home.
You still have 7 minutes.
I still have 7 minutes. Well, we might whack through the next section. Let's just see. Next section is this description of love. We don't have a lot to say about this because our focus is on the gifts. Love is patient. Love is kind. Is not jealous. Does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. So what does... Paul defines love in these short phrases. What words can summarize the meaning of love? Now, there's many answers you could give me. I have 4 or 5 on my list. What would you say? What's a chief... You could sum up all of these things about love. What would you? What one word would you use? Action, okay.
Salvation.
Okay, selfless.
Salvation. Love.
I didn't quite get the word you first said.
Virtue.
A virtue, yes, okay, yes, yes. Yes, okay, good. Anything else?
Passion.
Pardon me?
Passion.
Passion. Well, there is a passion to it, yes. Anything else that we would say? Giving, okay. What else? Yeah, I had that one on my list. What else? Gordon. Yeah, so what is that? What is the focus of love?
Others.
Okay. You know, there's that line that says you have to love yourself before you can love anybody else. It's a lie. It's a lie. We all love ourselves too much. That's the problem. All right, Christy.
I've wondered if, it's deeper than, if you don't have love, then you're not saved. How can you be saved if you lack?
Well, the thing is that because we all sin,
yeah.
All believers sin. And there are times when I can withhold love because I'm selfish.
But if you're completely devoid of it.
Yeah, we're not talking about that. Well, he's talking about in the exercise of those gifts in the first part of the chapter. He's saying, you could speak in tongues, but if you're doing it just to show off, you have no love, right? If there was a gift of tongues, let's say somebody was given a gift of tongues, and we'll define it as a human language, and it was for the purpose of getting the attention of a lost person who didn't speak my language for the gospel. And I was doing it for their sake and not for my own. Then that's love, right? But if I'm doing it to show off in church that I'm spiritual, that's not love, you see? So I think that's the difference. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're not saved, because Christians are sinners too. All right, Rob?
So just what you're saying there, it sounds like there might have been a problem in the Corinthian church.
Oh, absolutely. Well, we're looking all the way through the division, the first four chapters, and the suing each other. That's not love, by the way.
Yeah, okay. So it seems to be contrasting, right?
That's right.
He's saying, look at this first.
That's right. Look at this first. All right, Emily.
I remember eons ago when I was in Bible college, we had to do this exercise. We had to write out those verses but replace the love with our own name.
Yes.
And then after going back and reading it, you just realized you wrote this big lie. It was very
convicting. Yeah, that's right. She was selling them in Bible college, so they were given an exercise to replace love with their own name. So is that you? Put your name there. Is that you? Whew, boy. Yes.
Before we go to this love for people, about speaking of new tongues, some pastors, some ministers believe that if you don't speak in tongues, you can't go further.
That's right, yes.
And your college.
That's right. But that's not what Paul is saying. He says not everybody does that. He makes it quite clear. Not everybody speaks in tongues. And we'll define that later on. We're not defining it right now, okay? But we will define it later on, all right?
The one thing I was thinking about these verses is that when you love is able to bear with somebody wronging you.
Yes.
And still loves in spite of it.
Yes, love is able to bear with somebody wronging you. Now, it may take us a while to get there. People have done things, and it makes me mad. Okay, but normally, not always. Sometimes it takes me a while, and sometimes I need not to think about that person and what they did. I have to tell myself to love them and pray for them. Because what they need is, they need to get right themselves. And I need to keep my heart right. And that's love. That's better than our selfish focus. All right, I think we'll stop at this point. We'll pick up on the latter part of chapter 13. And probably I'll go into defining some of the gifts. Maybe not all of them, but some of them at least, so we can be clear about what we're talking about. We want to especially define tongues. All right, Christy.
Talking about the gift of faith, and what is that? Can you point to a person like George Mueller and say, he had the gift of faith?
Well, there's very little given to us. That's possible that he was somebody like that, okay? But you will notice in that verse, let's see here, 3, I think it was? No. Verse 2 of 13. If I have all faith so as to remove mountains, I guarantee you I do not have that gift. Right? But I think it, like you say, George Mueller, there's a man who exercised great faith.
Hudson Taylor.
Abraham. Yeah, that's right. But you see, some people seem to have an unusual gift in that way. But it's not, there isn't a lot of data given to us in the Bible about it. So we can only understand it based on what the Bible says. That's the one little reference there that sort of helps us understand faith. We'll talk some about the other ones later. Okay, let's close with a word of prayer, and we'll finish up for today. Father, thank you for this time that we've had as we've discussed the order of the gifts, the ranking of the gifts, and the fruit of the Spirit, which is love. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be faithful to you, to cultivate the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, and to exercise whatever gifts you give us faithfully for the sake of others and not for ourselves. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Time for lunch.